Our show is supported by Be My Guest with Ina Garten, Ina's official podcast from Food Network, back for its fourth season. On every episode, Ina invites a different friend to her home in the Hamptons to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking up an amazing meal. Join Ina as she crafts a classic cocktail with journalist Frank Bruni and discusses the ins and outs of Yorkshire pudding with actress Emily Mortimer. If you're looking for great conversations about and over good food, tune in to Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, I'm Francis Lamb, and this is Splendid Table Select, our mini podcast about the stuff that makes us better cooks and eaters. Today, our guest is Chetna Makan. She is the best dressed guest the show has seen in forever, probably because she was a fashion designer in India before moving to the UK in 2003. And she made her television debut not on Project Runway, but on The Great British Baking Show, where she crushed it all the way to the semifinals. Since then, she started a cooking channel on YouTube and has written three cookbooks. Her newest is called Chetna's Healthy Indian. She recently made her first trip to New York City, and our contributor Melissa Clark had her in the studio for a chat. Have a listen.
Chetna, welcome.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. So, why healthy Indian food specifically?
I think the biggest reason is that it's not something I've created. This is how Indian food is generally at home, cooking for your family. We eat really healthy food. So I think it's just about making people aware of what Indian food actually is like in Indian kitchens.
So there's a perception that it is somehow unhealthy that you...
Yes, I think in the West, where in UK and I think in US as well, where people associate Indian food to takeaways.
Mm.
It's all greasy and butter and naan and lots of ghee and stuff, where fried food, samosas. Mm-hmm. Whereas all that is true, that's not how we eat at home.
Right. So you didn't actually take Indian food and make it healthier. All you did is present Indian food as you always cook it.
Absolutely right. This is the food I grew up with,
right.
And this is the food I make for my family.
Now, you write about your mom cooking and how she would cook every single day. So tell us about that.
She was a stay-at-home mom looking after us. So she would make us a meal. So we'd come back from school and the lunch was ready on the table. And then in the evening, she would make fresh food, which means that she didn't really spend all her time in the kitchen.
Right.
You know, which is another thing, you know, this book tries to clarify, that you don't have to spend hours, days preparing for Indian food. It is really quick. So she made everything from scratch and really healthy. And that's how she still cooks.
I love the part where you write about how the vegetable vendor would come down your street and she would buy different vegetables. And then if the vegetable vendor didn't come for some day, she would have a panic attack.
You know, it still happens. So she visited me a few weeks ago and she was just saying this new vegetable vendor started coming. So basically, it's still happening.
That's amazing.
It's still very much happening.
And vegetables are a very big focus in Indian cuisine, not just in your book, but in the cuisine in general. A lot of vegetarians in the country.
Yes. So obviously, we all know a lot, most part of India is vegetarian. My dad is vegetarian. There's a big focus on seasonal, because you can't find, you know, strawberries throughout the year. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
So you get only seasonal produce. Cauliflower comes in the winter, green peas come in the winter. So there is seasonal produce that you eat mostly. So, the focus is a lot on vegetables.
Now, what about salads? You have a whole chapter on salads. Is that traditional in India, or is that something that you personally do in England?
So no, salads are not traditional in India. We have the kachumbar, which is a mix of cucumber and very fresh, because it's light goes with the heavy food. If you're eating, you know, if you're having a proper feast, then it goes some light salad. But no, it's not traditional. But I love a good salad. And I think with being in UK, where you've got a very short-lived summer, mm-hmm. you need something light and refreshing. But at the same time, I can't just eat leaves. I just need some more substance, like some paneer, some chicken to it, or some chickpeas, some solid paste to it, and of course spices.
Right, right. Is there one Indian dish that you think everybody should be cooking that we're not cooking, or you know, if or either from your book or just from the canon? What's the Indian dish that we're not cooking that we should be?
We have got a massive range of lentils available to us. And I think, which I particularly don't like, is when everything is categorized as yellow lentils.
Right.
Oh my God, it's just a bit, because I know that most of the lentils are yellow, but they taste so different. They might look same, but I think people need to try different lentils and see for themselves how amazingly delicious they are.
Actually, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you, because I noticed there are so many different kinds of lentils in your book, and I've never, I mean, some of them I had heard of but not tasted, and some of them I hadn't even heard of. Can you walk us through some of the different kinds of lentils that you love that we might be able to find that maybe we're not cooking with? When you say yellow lentil, you, I think here we would call it the red lentil. It's sort of an orange color.
Yes.
So, okay, right. So so there's that one. What other lentils?
The other lentil is tuar lentil.
Okay.
Which is just the base which we generally, traditionally use in India for tarka dal.
Okay.
And that tastes different to the orange lentil that you just mentioned, which once cooked turns yellow.
Right.
So this is a tuar dal, which is... It has started to become available in UK easily as well.
A tour dal.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's one thing which is a bit different. It tastes really, really different with some kind of tarka, which is tempering.
Yep.
So that's one good one to try. Then there's chana dal. Now, chana dal is the slightly heavier lentils, which takes a little bit longer than orange dal. It does taste delicious with flatbreads, and it's quite nice. It's quite creamy when it's cooked. It gets a bit creamy.
Right. So that's so chana dal.
Yeah, that's chana dal. And there's also moong dal, which is the, you know, another yellow lentils.
Right, right. But a different kind.
Yeah, it's a different kind. But it tastes, it's really light and super healthy. And the version of that you can find is the moong dal with the skin on.
Okay.
Which is green.
Okay. So those, oh, I've seen those.
Yeah,
yes.
And that is just... Another, it tastes different. So the green dal when cooked is very different to the moong dal without the skin when it's cooked. So the variety just keeps going on and on. Yeah.
And so you can substitute one for another if you can't find that particular kind.
Yes.
But it's better. I mean, of course, it's more fun to just try them all.
Yes.
Now,
absolutely.
You had just mentioned the tadka. The tadka?
Yes.
Tell me about that. What? So it's a tempered... tempered spices and oil?
Yes. So usually you would do that with ghee. But at the same time, that tadka becomes very different when you're in north than when you're in south. The spices you use in your tadka would differ if you're in a southern kitchen than in a northern kitchen. But in this book, I've tried to not divide things into north or south Indian or west or east.
Okay.
It's all Indian.
Right. How does it come together?
So the tadka comes together. You heat the ghee, which is the base. You usually don't do it in oil because it doesn't taste that much, that great.
Okay.
But yes, I sometimes
And could
I
you use,
oil.
Butter or it would have to be clarified
yes.
butter?
Yes. So it could. You could use butter. You could use sunflower oil. You could use coconut oil. You could use ghee. And then you add the seeds of your choice. So whether it's black mustard seeds or whether it's cumin seeds or a little bit of fennel thrown in. Or some fenugreek, but mainly, commonly, in my kitchen, it's cumin.
Okay.
And then as it gets a bit golden brown, you can smell it.
Yeah.
And that's when you throw in green chilies if you want, some garlic if you want, or some onions.
Right.
And you can add curry leaves if you can find fresh, or you can add a bit of tomatoes and then cook it and then add it to your dish.
So it's like this separately made spice and oil or spice and ghee mixture that flavors the whole pot.
Absolutely. And it could be very simple. It could just be ghee, cumin, and coriander leaves.
Right.
That's it.
And that really simple or more elaborate.
Or more elaborate.
Yeah. And so combine the different kinds of dal. I mean, I love dal so much. And I just love that it is there is an endless variety, it seems like.
Yes, there is an endless variety. And I can tell you that I haven't used all the varieties yet.
Wow.
Indian food is easy. it is healthy and you can make it really, really quick, midweek.
Right,
you don't have to wait for the weekend.
Well, thank you so much for coming and talking to us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
That was our contributor, Melissa Clark, with Chetna Makan, author of Chetna's Healthy Indian, and the host of the YouTube channel, Food with Chetna. If you want to check out some of Chetna's recipes, head over to splendidtable.org. And that's all for this week. We'll be back in your podcast queue again soon. I'm Francis Lam. All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.